Tango Tango Papa 1985, January 30th, 2015.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Metropolis, Illinois. So it's been a while since the last audio podcast. I've been keeping up pretty good with the videos, but audio podcast, I don't know. It's ironic now, videos, since I can do the videos on my phone so easily and on. And even on that the Samsung tablet that I have, because I've done some videos on it as well, it's so easy to do it on the tablet now that it's actually easier to do video and upload it to YouTube than it is to record audio and kind of make sure it's all mixed together properly and then put it, you know, render it into an MP3 file and upload it and then make the posting so that it turns it into a podcast. It used to be the other way around. It was always easier to do audio, and video was always very time-consuming and a pain. So times have changed. So anyway, let's see. So I was home for a few days, and I've been back at work now, I don't know, a few days. The better part of a week at this point. So let's see. While I was home, I ended up, I might have talked about it in the last podcast, I can't remember now. Ended up buying, there are these devices called Pico projectors, and they're just little, the idea is it's just a little small projector. Typically, really, if it's going to be a Pico projector, it should be include the ability to operate off of a battery. And these things have been around for a few years. I was aware of them, but I think more recently there's been this idea that they're building an operating system into them, and more specifically, they're building Android into them. And although, you know, they probably have their own little operating systems otherwise, they would have to have. They're using Android, some of, you know, that's the idea now. They're using Android as the operating system. And by doing that, then you can essentially include all of the functions, the Android-type functions that you would find on a phone, of course, without the ability to make phone calls, or on a tablet. So you can, you've got the Google Play Store, you've got the ability to load all kinds of apps on there, games, Netflix, Amazon streaming video, Hulu Plus streaming video, etc., etc. And comes, you know, the thing just goes right on your network, on your Wi-Fi, and goes right on the network, and you're able to stream things directly to the projector. And these projectors put out a lot of performance. It's kind of surprising how well they perform and what kind of image they're able to project. It really is kind of surprising. So I bought one of the, I ended up buying one of those. I was intrigued, and so I bought one and played with it quite a bit while I was at home. And I think that's inspired me at this point to what I'm going to do next is, of course, the reason I wanted the portable, the little Pico projector. And I've got video. You may have seen, if you watch my videos on YouTube, then you've already, I've reviewed it and showed it and what have you. bring that with me here in the truck. And the idea initially was that, you know, it's easier to, you know, I can project a big image, and it would be kind of like having a big screen television in a very small portable package. And it really kind of does work that way. So I'd be able to project it onto the ceiling or on the back wall of the truck is kind of what I've been doing in the meantime, because that's until I get a different kind of a mount that'll allow me to kind of project it on the ceiling, then it projects quite well on the back wall of the sleeper. And, you know, I'm ending up with I haven't measured it, but I'd say roughly a 40-inch screen or a little bit bigger image. And so, I think that's inspired me to, at home, probably go ahead and get some sort of a home projector. And so while I was at home, I have this bed, this one bedroom that was basically, it was essentially a junk room. A lot of it was my junk. Some of it was my parents' junk. It was mostly my junk. And so I ended up cleaning that out while I was home there. Cleaned that bedroom out. And it's not a huge room. It's probably maybe, I don't know, maybe 9.5 feet by 12, something like that. So it's not a gigantic room, but it's big enough that I can make that into projector room, and why not? I mean, I've got a four-bedroom house, so instead of having a room full of junk that just, that's kind of stupid, to have a whole room in the house that's just junk, why not put it to use? And so I cleaned the room out, and I had enough extra stereo components that I can, you know, I went ahead and set, you know, I've got an audio video or surround sound receiver, and I had some extra speakers and what have you, and even a DVD, what was that? It was like a DVD recorder, but it also plays CDs, and it will play DVDs as well. But set that up and got that working, and so my plan is at some point, probably in the near future, I'll get a home projector, you know, that one that's kind of a larger unit. I think I'll probably try to stick with the LED because a lot of the traditional home projectors and traditional projectors in general have had different types of bulbs in them, and the big sticking point with most projectors is that the bulbs might only last, let's say they last 3,000 hours. Well, that's not a whole lot. You know, and then you got to replace the bulb, and those bulbs can be very pricey, anywhere from let's say $100 up to $500, or who knows how much, depending on the model of the projector and the type of bulb that it takes. And you're replacing that thing every 3,000 hours. Well, if you have a projector that has an LED in it, they're claiming I've seen anywhere from claims from 15,000 hours to 50,000 hours. More typically, they're claiming at least 20,000 hours. And so that's it seems like the LED projectors are more reasonably priced, especially the home models, are more reasonably priced than the traditional type of home projectors. So probably going to go with, at least to start with, you know, a model that's kind of aimed more towards, you know, the value end. And the great thing about it is that you can go onto YouTube and look these things up. And in most cases, people are posting their own reviews, same thing on Amazon. You know, people are posting their experiences, they're writing reviews, and you get a good cross-section of what people are saying about it and what people think the pros and cons are for particular models. And so I think that that's the kind of the next thing that I'm excited about. I'm certainly enjoying, I've been really enjoying this, the little Pico projector. Again, you know, because it's just easier. Because I, you know, typically I've been watching a lot of video on my iPad, and most commonly, whenever I go to bed, and this has been going on for a long time now. Whenever I go to bed, I would typically turn on the iPad and watch either something on YouTube or Netflix or one of those services. And now I can do it, it's just easier to do it on that projector, because the projector makes a bigger screen. I'm not having to lay on my side, because with the iPad I would either be on one side, or, you know, I'd get tired on that side, and then I'd have to flip over and move the iPad over and flip over to the other side. And then typically after, you know, I'll get a big wave of drowsiness, and then it's time to turn it off and go to sleep. And so with the projector, it's just, even with it aimed at the back wall, that's I'm not really having to lay on my side in order to watch it. And then once it's on the, if I get the right kind of flexible mount, I can aim it right at the ceiling. And you know, if I get it aimed, figure out how to get it aimed properly and kind of the projector positioned properly, then with the right kind of flexible mount, tripod mount, then I'll be able to just look straight up at the ceiling and watch it. And again, it's very easy to simply, when I'm, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, drowsy, just turn it off and go to sleep. So, but I think these are really neat devices, because they're, if you just had a traditional Pico projector, you would have to attach some other unit to it, you know, either a smartphone or some sort of, you'd have to have some sort of media device attached to it. There are some of them that have, you know, they would come with SD card readers, but you'd have to have the file, you know, already there to, you know, in the right format to you know, to be able to play it. But if you can stream it directly off the internet, then that's the best solution of all, because then it's it works just like any mobile device, except that the screen is being projected, and it just makes it work a whole lot. It's just easier to work with, and there's, you don't have to attach anything, as you just turn it on and there it is. So that's really the best solution. Now, as far as a home unit, there are some that they're building Android and Wi-Fi into. There are home units that are available to do that, and that's probably what I'm going to be looking at. There's a few models that I've seen. And I think that's there's going to be more of them in the future. This is something that I think just happened probably within the last year, and I just became the way I ended up becoming aware of it was, I was listening to something and they were talking about CES, the 2015 CES, and they mentioned it, and I hadn't really ran into the idea of integrating an operating system and Wi-Fi and Bluetooth into a Pico projector. But once I heard about it, then I immediately saw the possibility of it, and so that's kind of what, you know, made me aware of it, and I've gotten interested in it. And so definitely think that you know, in the near future, as I say, I'm going to get a home model, one that I'll just leave at home. And then, you know, I've already cleaned the room out and kind of partially set it up. And so then I'll, you know, so I'll have, you know, probably an 80-inch screen. And I could possibly go up to 100 inches at some point. And that's kind of nice to watch certain types of content on. And the home versions, of course, you know, typically the all of the ones, the projectors I've seen have a couple of HDMI ports and different ways of, you know, different ports you can plug things into. And so probably I would, even with a Wi-Fi model, I would probably go ahead and attach a Roku unit to one of the HDMI ports as well, just for the added added flexibility. Or even a Chromecast would do it. So, but these, you know, it's I hadn't, you know, again, I hadn't really considered. I've looked at projectors before. I have a friend that's had one for a few years. And set up a projection room, I don't know, probably 4 years ago or more. And but you know, he has a nice projector. He paid a couple thousand dollars for it, at least a couple thousand dollars plus for it 4 years ago. So, but if you can kind of achieve most of the same thing for let's say $350, then you know, then you're talking. You know, I don't necessarily, you know, I don't mind paying for performance, but on the other hand, over the years I've paid a lot for sort of bleeding edge performance, and nowadays I'm, you know, I don't know, I've kind of gotten away from that to a large extent. I don't necessarily want to pay for the be on the bleeding edge. And if you're not, most people are, if you've ever, the idea with technology, if you're on the bleeding edge, it means that you know, you're getting the latest and the greatest and the newest thing, and it's typically overpriced and it doesn't work all that well, or it's got all kinds of incompatibilities. I would rather you know, let somebody else do that and just wait until the technology sort of matures, and I think that's happening. Certainly it's happening in the projectors. You know, and the projectors are getting smaller, and they're integrating more functions into them. And so I think that the Pico projector is potentially, that could end up kind of moving more, a little bit more into the mainstream. I don't expect that everybody's going to have one. It's not going to be like a smartphone or what have you anytime, maybe ever, or certainly not in the near future. But on the other hand, I think that's going to become a more of an interesting category for people. And then, of course, there's this idea that you can integrate a Pico projector into a telephone, and that's been around for a few years, actually, and I'm sure there's some prototypes where, you know, they've actually done that. But on the other hand, you know, I don't really care about projecting images with my phone. You know, even if it's just showing pictures or what have you, or a little short video, don't really care about that. And if I want to use my phone, you know, what happens if you get a phone call? Well, of course, that ends up getting interrupted. So you do need dedicated devices for certain tasks. Now, I certainly do use my phone to record videos with. And typically I'm able to record the video without, you know, I'm not getting interrupted with a phone call while I'm recording. Usually that doesn't happen. So that usually works out pretty well. I'm able to kind of record the videos with the phone and then upload them. That works fine. But as far as do I want to, you know, watch movies with my phone as the phone is the projector? Probably not. But on the other hand, a separate unit, you know, like this Pico projector that I have, that I think that does work. So kind of happy with that. And I'm, you know, I'm glad that I was able to just kind of, whenever I found out about, you know, I saw Pico projectors initially, I thought that was interesting, but it never really caught my attention, because, you know, you have to hook it to something, but on, you know, in this case, it's just all self-contained, and you can, of course, you can plug it in, and the image is surprisingly good. It's pretty amazing what these things can do. And, you know, it's just, it's really surprising. So, I think this is a category that, again, I think it's a category that's, since they're now integrating operating systems into it and Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, I think it's a category that's really poised to move more into the mainstream. And so... Gonna have fun with that here. Certainly here in the truck, it makes for a much better video viewing experience. And now I kind of don't have much use for my iPad. And I don't see myself. Having to, and it's been this way for some time, I don't see myself having to buy another computer. I've got plenty of computers. The computers that I have seem to work fine. I really don't see myself needing to buy it. Why would I buy another iPad? Because all I was doing on it was watching videos. And if I need another tablet, I'm not going to spend that much money on an iPad. Certainly, you know, a tablet, the only other tablet that I have is the Samsung that I bought a few months back, and the 8-inch, and it's a Galaxy Tab 3, and it primarily, what I use it for is as a GPS, and to stream media from Bluetooth. It, you know, I listen to lots of podcasts with it through the Stitcher app. I listen to Audible audiobooks on it. Sometimes I'll watch videos on it. Most of the time it's there to look up, you know, especially when I'm here in the truck, it's stuck to the windshield, and I'm using it to look up mapping functions, where truck stops, you know, what exits they're at, how many parking spots they have, excuse me, that kind of thing. And so I make lots of use of that. And so if it, you know, and I only gave, what I give for that, like $200. So I'm not going to spend a fortune on something like that. And it's, plus it has the integrated GPS chip right in there and it works great. I'm not going to spend a fortune on a tablet that just, you know, for that function. And, of course, unless you get like a Verizon or an AT&T version or a Sprint version of the, you know, or a T-Mobile version of a iPad, they don't even include GPS chips, and then there's no memory. There's no memory slot. So in an iPad, so there, I don't know. I don't ever see myself having to buy another iPad. And as I say, I've got plenty of computers. So obviously, I will be getting more phones, and at this point, whenever my contract is up, I'm probably, you know, I say there's about a 99% chance it's going to be a Note 4. I've been very, very super happy with the Note 3, and so I'm sure I'll be happy with the Note 4. And so, but otherwise, that sort of leaves my, what excites me from a technology standpoint, projectors. media consumption, and the projectors, that's interesting, because it combines different functions into a single device. And That's typically what successful devices do. As things become miniaturized, all these different functions are sort of combined into a smaller, into a single device. And certainly the smartphone is a great example of that, because you've got camera functions, video recording functions, audio recording functions, web browsing functions, email functions, all of those functions, computing functions, all of those functions are combined into a single device. And so that's, if you can continue to do that, or do it in other ways, without then devices that are able to do that and kind of get into really small packages really do stand a better chance of being successful. So, but anyway, that's kind of what I've been up to the past, or especially when I was at home. I also ended up getting one of my younger brothers to help me get more gravel for the driveway, and was able to get it sort of spread out, and so that was kind of, I have to do that every few years, because that gravel has a mysterious, it either gets compacted down into the ground, or in part of it, because it's on a slope, part of it ends up washing away. And so periodically it's necessary to get some more. And so I'll have a driveway and a place to park. So I was able to get that done. And, and then since I've, at work, I've just been here at work, they've been keeping me just as super, super busy. And so that's part of the reason why there just haven't been any. I just haven't had much time to podcast, and there's been plenty of nights where I've just, especially since I came back to work, I've just barely had enough time to go pretty much right to bed and sleep, and then have to take right back off. And so there's just not enough time. Again, it's just easy, and I can keep up with the videos, because that just takes a few minutes, and because of the convenience of that now, combined with better upload speeds, it's pretty easy at this point to record a video that's a few minutes long and push it right up to YouTube, and there it is. And it's there, and it's available, and I don't have to go through a lengthy, sort of an involved process, kind of putting the thing out there. So I plan on continuing audio podcasting, but then again, it's not something I'm going to be, at one time I was doing it every night. There for a long time I was putting out one podcast a day, and I just don't have the kind of time to do that anymore. And but I will continue as I have time for, and as I feel compelled to do, I'll continue audio podcasting. And it would be tempting, I have to admit it. It would be really tempting to just say, I'm going to just end this. It's a waste, I'm not getting anything out of it. But I do get something out of it. I do enjoy it. So I think the thing to do, instead of just saying I'm going to end it, I think it's better just to say I'm not going to podcast as often. And if I, if I do podcast, then I'm going to, I'll do it. And if I do say that I'm going to end it, then I'm going to come on here and I'm going to say this is the end. But it's not the end yet. So, anyway, I think I'm going to bring this to a close. Need to get headed to bed. They got me on a load that It's kind of funny. I unloaded earlier today. There was a drop and hook load that I had in Cleveland, Tennessee. And then they sent this load that it picks up in Olathe, Kansas. And that's like 720-something miles from, that's a deadhead, from Cleveland, Tennessee to Olathe, Kansas. And so I sent them a message questioning that. And they said, yeah, you're picking up in Kansas. You know, the shipper is paying for it. So the shipper's paying for it. So they're paying for the deadhead. So I guess they really, I don't know. But I get paid either way. I get paid 52 cents a mile, whether, you know, it doesn't matter. Whether it's a deadhead mile or whether it's loaded miles, you know, I get paid 52 cents per mile. So the only reason I know that, somebody asked me the other day, and I happened to have a paycheck thing, and so I looked at it. I didn't even know. I knew, you know, just I had no idea. So that's what it is. So in case you're curious. So anyway, the truck runs good up the hills, empty. It just goes right up the hills, so I don't really care. And but anyway, I'm on my way to Olathe, Kansas, so should get there sometime tomorrow. Then the load should be ready by sometime on the 1st, and then the 1st, it has two drops. The first one is in Grand Prairie, Texas at 10 a.m. on the 2nd, and then the second and final drop is at 10 p.m. in Temple, Texas on the 2nd. So it, you know, it's kind of spread out as far as the time goes between 10 a.m. to like 8 p.m. or 8 p.m. or something. I think it was 8 p.m., 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. So that sort of spreads the time out, but and they were both on the 2nd, so but should have plenty of time. But it's just, that's not the longest deadhead I've ever had. The longest deadhead that I've ever had is probably about 1,200 miles. And that's actually happened a couple of times. One time, or a long time ago, when I worked for Willis Shaw, it happened one time that they had a deadhead that was, you know, it was, I don't know, like 1,100 miles. And then, and it actually happened once for Schaefer. And I don't remember any of the details about it, but it was a, you know, it was like, you know, 1,200 miles or so deadhead. And so that does happen. It doesn't happen very often, but it has. I have had that happen a couple of times. And so, you know, and especially, I guess, if the shipper's willing to pay for it, then the company's willing to do it all day long. Normally, they're going to do whatever they can to keep those deadhead miles as short as possible. But on the other hand, if the shipper's paying for it, I guess, it's, you know, they're happy to do it because it's paid both ways. So anyhow, I hope everyone has had a great week. Hope you have a great weekend coming up. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.